welcome back to our Roman sermon summaries. I want to start off by pointing out that music has very different styles. You can go from music having a marching feel to flowing and smooth, and to choppy, something called staccato. And that's kind of what Paul does here. He begins a very staccato part of Romans chapter 12. He gives many quick, choppy commands that we will try to walk through quickly. He begins verse 9 by saying, "Let love be without hypocrisy." So we are to have a genuine love for people, not looking for profit. We are to abhor that which is evil. Sproul says he uses one of the strongest words for hatred found anywhere in the Bible. The word implies not mild displeasure or mere dislike. Paul is commanding in the name of the Lord that we loathe evil. We are to see evil as an unveiled assault on the character of God and on his sovereignty. We are to push away that which is evil, and therefore we are to cling to that which is good, Paul says. We are to strive for or grasp or hold on to that which is good. As children grab the legs of their parents in crowded and scary places for them, we are to, as we are surrounded by evil and wickedness and sin, we are to cling to that which is good, individually and as a church. In verse 9, he says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, to have commitment to your local church and to show kindness and care for it and those in it, to give preference to one another in honor. We are to live humbly, not seeking honor for oneself, but we should show respect and honor for others, not lagging behind in diligence. Rather, we are to be busy serving the Lord, fervent in spirit, excited or stirred up in your inner man for serving the Lord. It is not a bore or just a necessity or duty, but it is a joy for us to serve the Lord." Verse 12, he says, "Rejoice in hope." How many Christians have you met that are old grumps? Or maybe you are an old grump. We have an everlasting joy of life ahead of us. We ought to be rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ. We can be persevering in tribulation. We continue on. We don't give up. We keep on going. And as trials and hardships come, we don't fade in our pursuit of Christ. Rather, we should actually be strengthened in our pursuit of Christ. We are to be devoted to prayer. Make a point at this. Commit to gathering together for church prayer times, for personal prayer times in small groups, and for your personal prayer time, separate, in your closet, praying by yourself. 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. There's a sad saying or understanding in most churches that 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. And that is very sad. No, rather, 100% of the work should be done by 100% of the people, meeting each other's needs. Practicing hospitality. I would say hospitality is the door to fellowshipping with your church family and getting to know them and serve them. Verse 14, we're to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I think Paul maybe means here that we should not curse our enemies. It's kind of hard to tell, right? Actually, no. On second thought, it means exactly what it says. Bless those who persecute us. Pray for God's grace to work in their lives. I think this is one of the greatest struggles of Christians today in America, from what I've observed, especially on social media and such, that we would rather than cut down and bash those who are set against Christ and the gospel, that we would seek to pray for them and care for their souls and seek to be lights to this dark world around us. He continues on in verse 14. He says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice." When you and your spouse are battling through a rough marriage and the young dating couple sitting in the other pew announces their engagement, you can rejoice with them. You ought to be able to rejoice with them. And he says, "And weep with those who weep." When you are newly and happily engaged couple, learn to mourn with the struggling couple and support them. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Have unity and love and your care for one another. How can we accomplish this? By not being haughty in mind, associating with the lowly, don't have cliques, and do not be wise in your own estimation. Consider the input, the concerns, and wisdom of others. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Our immediate response is to get even, get back, to make someone pay. But no, we are called to do the opposite of that. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. There should be a general respect by believers of the understanding of that which is upright. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Unfortunately, there have been many Christians at many times and many places who have caused unnecessary division, problems, and issues, hurting the cause of the gospel. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. When we are wronged, God will deal justice, not us. This verse, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head, has many various interpretations. I believe a good one is as follows. As you refuse to return evil for evil and actually return good for evil, they, as they continue in their evil, will be storing up for themselves more judgment. This understanding frees us. If they continue in their evil, we need not take vengeance, because we can rest in God doing his job as judge. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This also brings the last explanation to a fuller picture. Hopefully and prayerfully, those persecuting do not continue in their persecuting, but rather they turn from their wicked way and see good, and we see good overcome evil. So continue to respond to God's mercy, serve him faithfully in his church, love the body of Christ.